Would you please stand with me as we read God's Word together, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, titled this message, Go Time, A Time of Action. Hear God's Word to you this morning. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong, courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated. Well, it's go time here in chapter 1 in the book of Joshua. Imagine you're going to undergo a surgery and you're on the gurney. And you wave goodbye to your loved one, if you've ever had that experience, if they wheel you toward the operating room, or maybe it's the year-end evaluation and you step into the office. Your hands are kind of sweaty. You have to clear your throat like 12 times as the boss takes out your folder. Or it's 3 a.m. and you're tired and in pain and you've carried this baby for 39 weeks and now you're 10 centimeters dilated, and you know what that means? It means it's go time, as the doc says, hey, let's start trying to push. Or maybe it's the final exam, and you sit in your seat, and you're handed that exam, and it's time to go. And there's a sense of pressure, but there's also a sense of relief. Relief because it's like, well, I've done all that I could do. It is what it is. I either pass or I fail. That's just how it goes. But there's pressure still because you feel a sense of wanting to do well or not wanting that Caesarean, but wanting that natural birth or wanting that promotion. Well, for Israel, it's been 40 years of carrying that baby in the desert. 40 years of studying past quizzes, and now it's the final. 40 years of performance evaluations. Now it's time to either get that pay raise or get that pink slip. It's go time, baby. What happens when it's time for you to pull the trigger? What kind of principles guide you? Where do you look to for instruction in those times? What promises do you hang on to? What fears do you have to put to death? It's in those moments, those pivotal moments of lives, that we are fully cognizant, fully aware of the fact that we need God. And here's a principle. Go time is not a good time to be thinking about this for the first time, right? Listen, the past is the past here in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Moses is dead. The unfaithful generation has perished in the desert over 40 years. And now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of fulfillment. But now is the time for action. It's go time. So what is Joshua? What is Israel to remember? What is to inform their actions? Chapter 1 is not just a summary of all the things that are going to happen in the book. It's not just a summary. It is, but it's not just that. It's not just, hey, go take this land. Hey, then divide up this land. And then, hey, live in light of the one who gave you this land and be a beacon of light to all the nations. It is that. But it's also a call to action. Last week, as we looked at this chapter, we said it was packed so full that we weren't going to try to tackle it in one message. We learned of the three it's and a promise. We learned the context behind it, that Joshua lived this. We know the story of Joshua. We know how it ends. We know that they end up taking the land and Israel ends up taking possession of the land. But when Joshua received these promises that were so familiar of be strong and courageous, you know, have I not commanded you? I am with you always. All those promises to us sometimes can be, we can separate them from the historical context that he lived it. He was in the midst of it. There'll be a time, maybe in 2022, and we look back. 2020 and say, you remember what it was like in March of 2020? And it probably will be very different, at least experientially, as we look back. I'm not a prophet. I'm pathetic in that area, so please don't put that on social media somewhere. However, what I am saying is there's a difference between living in those times and then looking back at those times. Joshua lived in those times. He also received it. He received this direct command from God, we said. And he received this mantle of leadership from God with a specific role to God. It was his role, not Moses' role. It was his role that God had specifically designed for his life to lead the nation of Israel into war and into possession of the promised land. And God has given you a role, we learned last week. That you too have a God-given role. And God says to you, and he says to me, gird up your loins, woman. Gird up your loins, man. And live in light of the role that God's given you, trusting in him. And we learned that he also needed it. He not only lived it, he not only received it, but he needed it. We were reminded that Joshua, this mighty warrior, this commander of the armies of Israel, he was scared. How do we know that? Because God had to say to him numerous times in this book, Joshua penned this book as inspired by the Holy Spirit, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And it's a common phrase that we find even in the New Testament. It's Jesus' most common command. You know what it is? Jesus' most common command in the New Testament, it's the same thing. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Joshua needed it. We need that reminder as well. We also learned that all these things were wrapped up in this promise. That he was going to have to live it, receive it. He needed it. But the promise was that I will be with you. The promise was to make all the difference, not just for Joshua, but for us. It's the same promise that God gave to all the greats throughout the scriptures, whether it's Moses or Joshua or Paul or Gideon. God promised to be with them. But it's a promise that we as Christians hold on to too, because it's the promise that Jesus left as his last words before he ascended into heaven before the disciples, promising them and promising us through Holy Scripture that He will be with us always, even to the end of the age. It makes all the difference. But now it's go time. It is going to take courage and obedience. There's going to be some give and take. There's going to be you and an all. There's going to be election and a responsibility. I want to talk about those four principles that are also in this chapter during this go time. But because Jesus answered the call to action in complete obedience at the cross, we too must act in go times to the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear your word today, that you would bridge this gap of 3,500 years or so. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that this just wouldn't be a lecture, a teaching, a sermon, but it would be a transaction between your Holy Spirit and your people. And Lord, this thought comes to my mind, and so I'm just going to pray it now, just for a former member whose dad's leg was apparently severed. And Lord, I just pray for healing. I pray for a bone graft for that person, or from a cadaver I think they're trying to find, and it seems like it's a dire situation. Lord, I pray that you would save that leg of that father of a former member. Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Help us now. Amen. Courage and obedience. Look at verse 6 with me. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. We've heard that verse many times before. And oftentimes when we read this, I don't know, as an ex athlete long ago, it brings up all kinds of little sports sayisms. See if you recognize any. In other words, be strong and courageous, young man. Toughen up. Buckle down. Grit your teeth. Push through, boy. Grind. But coach, I broke my finger. Well, tape it to another one and get back out there. Now, if you're working with younger kids, coach, I broke my finger. Aw. Well, let's tape it up and get back out there. There's got to be a sensitivity. You can't just kind of say, put ice on it and go. But that's the kind of thought. A lot of times when we read this verse, that's what we think of. Hey, be strong and courageous. And many times in the Christian world, you know what we say to those we love? We say, just change. Would you just do it for once? Would you just change? And we don't take into account the difficulty. We have the attitude of, I just can't understand why they lose their temper all the time. Or, you know, she's such a cuss-up and complainer. Or, he's so loud and obnoxious. Or, she just can't control her weight. Or, he's always late. Or, she never picks up anything. She just walks right by it. I cannot understand how everyone in this house can just walk by that for 7 days. That's hypothetical. But it brings to mind this thought sometimes that we wrongly think when we read this verse, be strong and courageous. I think of the Bob Newhart skit. You remember where he's this psychologist and he's working with someone that's coming to him and they're having these difficulties in life and they can't get over this hump and they just feel like they're, I don't know, buried in a box or something like that. I forget what it was. It was just a fear they had. And she was looking to the psychologist for this insightful, profound advice. It's really going to help her get over it. And the advice he gave her, he just said, here, I'm going to give it to you. Stop it. And that's the point. Stop it. And she said, no, stop it. That's what we often do with other Christians. We just say, stop it. And oftentimes, be strong and courageous. God's not saying to Joshua, hey, stop it. Be strong and courageous. Man up. Listen, it's kind of surprising. We made the point last week that Joshua was afraid, especially because Joshua's the commander of the armies of Israel, especially because he's already a seasoned warrior. He's already done this before, and he's been victorious. Not only that, he's one of the secret agents. He was one of the spies that went into the land, risking his life. So it doesn't seem like he struggles in this area of anxiety, but he does. He does. And it's a reminder to us that every human has clay feet. We all have shortcomings and besetting sins that cause us to struggle in our faith walk. We're weak. But it's not a call just to change. And oftentimes it's such a discouragement when you tell your children, when you tell your spouse, when you tell your friend, would you just change? And they want to express to you, I want to change so bad. I recognize that you're right, but it's hard. But I want you to make the connection with verse 5 here. So God does say, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. He does say that, but look at the connection in verse 5. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. God's command to be courageous is tied to himself. No man's going to be able to stand before you, Joshua. I'm going to be with you. My power is going to be made perfect in your weakness. I am with you. And listen, change in the Christian life only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit working in you to change you into the image of Christ. You can't just change by sheer will. You can't just stop being afraid by one day saying, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. No. The gospel is a call to say, to admit, I'm weak. I need your help. God, would you give me strength to be patient today? Would you help me to be understanding and compassionate? Change comes through the Holy Spirit who is changing us from one degree to another to the glory of God. So when you read that verse, be strong and courageous, make sure you're making that connection, that gospel connection that's happening, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. It comes through God. All things are possible, Joshua. No one's going to stand before you all the days of life. You know why? Because just like I was with Moses, so I'm with you. That's the same promise Jesus gives you and he gives me. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Courage, but there's this call to obedience. Only be strong, courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Here's this promise of success. There's going to be this promise of prosperity. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Notice this connection with this famous verse, be strong and courageous. It seems kind of strange, doesn't it? It seems like we read that immediately and we think of this command as God's command and reassurance to a warrior, don't we? To the soldier, to the leader. And it is that. It is that command to the leader, the soldier. It is. Listen, I've given you this land. I am with you. Go and take it. Be strong and courageous. But notice what he says in verse 7 and 8. The command to be strong and courageous, or to be resolute, is to be courageous to do what? To keep the law. To live God's way. To be set apart. And to live the life of faith. Be strong and courageous. Is he saying it to the warrior? Yes. But look at the verses. Look at the connection. Look at the context. He's saying be strong and courageous as a follower of God. Don't turn from the right or to the left. Success, hear me, success is tied to Joshua's and Israel's obedience, not their willpower, not their courage. It's tied to them making a resolute decision to be strong and courageous, drawing on the power of God to live the life that God commands his people to live, that no one else can live that kind of life. There is power, sustaining power that God puts in every Christian heart as the Holy Spirit is conforming you to the image of Christ to help you do what's right. That's what he's saying to Joshua. Be strong, courageous. Get in there, boy. Tape it up. Put some ice on it. Get in there and get her done. But it's more than that. It's a lifelong invitation to draw on him to live the kind of life that God calls you to live. Christian, teenager, your life should look very different from your non-believer friends. Is there anywhere in your life right now that you're failing to be strong and courageous? God would call you and call me. Listen, that true success, true prosperity is linked to obedience. You know, I had an experience yesterday. We were driving home. And we stopped at a certain, I guess you call it a chicken joint. It was a drive-through. And I mean, this place is hopping like every single day. It's so packed, but it's so fast. I mean, I think 400 other people had the same idea that I had as I pulled over, got into the line. I don't know. There were 20 cars in front of me, two lanes back. I mean, it was crazy. And we got the stuff really fast, whatever. But you know what's amazing about that? I've gone to this chicken joint a number of places in a number of states, and it's always the same. There's a prosperity and a success in this place that's, it's kind of hard to reason. How come? Is it just because they always say, my pleasure? And that keeps people coming back? If you go on their website, this is what they say. Having worked 7 days a week in restaurants open 24 hours, this person, you probably know who he is, but I won't say his name. He's the CEO and founder. He saw the importance of closing on Sundays so that he and his employees could set aside one day to rest and worship if they choose. Right there. I believe it's the blessing of God. It's someone who says, you know what? We're not going to put profit before priority. And our priority is that I want to worship on Sunday. And I want my employees to have that opportunity to do the same thing. That's what God's saying to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. But there's this tie to courage and obedience. And God's calling you and he's calling me. If you want success in life, if you want prosperity in life, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law, he meditates what? Day and night. That's what God is saying to Joshua. Listen, meditate on it day and night. Don't turn from your left or your right. Be strong. Be courageous. But secondly, there's also a give and take. Look at verse 3 and 6. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you. Just as I promised Moses, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. There's this link here in give and take of God giving this land. And it's kind of strange, isn't it? Did you pick that up, that I thought the promises came like to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob. How come Mo gets a promise here and gets kind of highlighted here in this book of Joshua? Well, God promised Moses as well in Deuteronomy 34:4. Here's the point. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring." He firmly plants Moses in the line of the promise. But now that promise is coming from Moses. It's coming to Joshua. It's a reminder to Joshua, "Joshua, you're in line of these covenant promises that I've given to the father of the faith, Abraham. I've given it to Isaac. I've given it to Jacob." Joseph knew it. He said, "Hey, when we go out of Egypt here, make sure you carry my bones, put them in the promised land with my daddies and my granddaddies, because that's our land. God's going to give it to us." He knew it. And Moses is in line with that. And the reminder is to Joshua that, "Joshua, you're in the line of that as well. Every place that the sole of your foot, Joshua, that you tread upon, I've given to you. For you shall, not only you, but you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." There's this give that the people have to realize, Joshua had to realize, that they are the recipients of the promises. All those stories in Genesis, all those stories in Exodus about God, how he did these amazing things. Moses is trying to teach the people in Genesis, "Hey, don't you understand the story of Noah and the story of Adam and all these stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the things that they talked about? You guys are the people. You're the people that they were talking about. And it's God's design for you to leave Egypt and go into this land and inherit it. He's giving it to us." Well, Joshua has to be reminded that, listen, Joshua, you're connected. And all your people, they're all connected to this promise. This promise is not just for Abraham, for Isaac, and for Jacob. It's for Moses, and it's for you, and it's for all the people as well. We, too, are recipients of that covenant promise through Jesus Christ, who took courage, who obeyed at every turn, who didn't turn to the right and to the left. Instead, he put out his right and he put out his left and he nailed it to the cross and he died for all of our shortcomings, all of our fears, all of our anxieties. And he won for us a victory, a covenant victory that we will all experience on the day we come to the Lord, and further experience on the day we finally see the Lord face to face. Listen, we have to realize that we're connected to all these promises. It's meant to inform the way we live now. Those promises were meant to inform Joshua and the people, to help them live differently. Not just have a cute little saying like maybe you have a wedding gift, you know, "Hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And put, that was ours, and so that's kind of in my house. No, it's a promise to help you live differently now. If there's this give, and we have to realize, you have to realize, that God has given you this glorious inheritance. He's given you this power. He's given you the Holy Spirit to live differently. But there's also, not just with this give, there's a take. Look what he says in verse 2. "Now therefore," speaking to Joshua, "arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them to the people of Israel." Listen, the people are promised this promised land. It's given to them by God. Make no mistake about it. They're not going to take it on their own. It's not their sheer will. It's not their military skill. It's not their bravery or their tactics. It's given to them by God. But notice, they got to fight for it. They got to take it. They got to risk their lives to inherit it. They have to live. Here it is again. Probably sounding like a broken record. They have to live a life of faith in the now in order to receive it. And so do you. And notice, it's not just Joshua. It's everyone. It's the warriors, but it's also the women and children who are left beyond the river. There'll be a time, we'll get to this in just a moment, where there are going to be three tribes that are going to have their inheritance allotment east of the Jordan River. And they're going to have to go over and fight with the rest of the tribes. And they're going to have to leave all their wives and their children behind. That's kind of scary. If you're a wife and children, I would be. But the point is, it's for all of them. This promise is not just for some. And they got to take it. They got to fight for it. They got to fight the fight of faith. They got to fight to trust God that He's going to care for them. He's going to protect them. He's going to help them. He didn't just throw it out there. There's people in this land. We'll talk about that later. They're going to have to fight them. They're going to have to take this land. Listen. God calls you to a life of faith as well. And you're going to have to fight too. There's going to be times in your life that are going to be not just challenging, but heart-wrenching. And your faith is going to be either strengthened or your unbelief is going to be revealed. And oftentimes what happens in most Christians' life is their unbelief is revealed and then God strengthens them anyway because He's a gracious God and He loves to help us. He loves to help Joshua. But this, as we read this passage, this is a reminder. All these things, Corinthians, these things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the times or the ages has come. All these examples of all this stuff that happened in the desert, all these people that we kind of are 3,500 years away from us. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, listen, all these things happened to them as examples. They were written down as warnings for who? For us. We're the recipients on whom the fulfillment of the ages have come. We have to realize we're connected to the promises of God. There's a give. There's also a take. But not only is there a call to have courage and obey, and we're reminded that this give and take is designed by God and that His gifts must be seized. But also there's a personal and corporate nature here. An individual in a group reality. Thirdly, third kind of principle, this connection. There's this you and this all that seems to pervade these few verses here in this first chapter. Look at verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you, singular, and all these people, plural, into the land that I'm giving them to the people of Israel. There's this you first, this personal. Moses is called the servant of the Lord. And it's a special designation that Moses has as servant of the Lord. There's a separation between Moses and God. He's the servant of the Lord. Joshua's not called a servant of Moses. He's called Moses' aide or his assistant or his page. You see, there's not much difference between Joshua and Moses. They're both inheritors of the promise, but they both are inferior to the superior Lord who is so far above them. But Joshua has been this assistant. He's been this aide. He's been this page all these years. But now, it's time for him to be the man. Moses is dead. And God says, arise and go. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people at the land that I'm giving them that I promised the nation of Israel. Joshua, you're the man. You're the one I selected. It's you. There's this personal nature that God selects. Joshua, and so too. God, there's a personal individuality that God has chosen you. We'll get to that in just a moment. But He selected you. But I want you to see that there's a connection, not just to Joshua. It's not just a command to Joshua, but it's a command to all. In verses 12 through 15, towards the end of the chapter here, after God speaks in those first nine verses to Joshua. Joshua will then go talk to the officers and commanders and tell them what to do and tell them, hey, start preparing in 3 days. It's go time. Get all your stuff ready because we're going. We're crossing over to the Jordan. But then in verse 12, he says something very interesting, something that we've alluded to already. This inclusivity of the Israelite nation. Not just a you, not just a personal relationship with God, not just you and your Bible. That's what we're getting at. But there's a corporate nature in God's way of thinking that he wants us to grasp. And Joshua goes in verse 12 and he says this, and to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, here's really his first act of leadership. Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, east of the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Hear what Joshua's saying? He's saying, congregation, stay together. He's saying to those people, listen, it will ruin morale of the nation if a couple of tribes begin to say, listen, we've already received our land. Why should we risk it all? Why should we cross over the Jordan and somehow risk our lives when we already have our land? We've been slaves for all these hundreds of years, and now we've had this rich inheritance. We had 2 million strong. It's just three tribes or so if we're over here. But notice the promise. Notice the promise was for all people, not for some of the people. They were to be a united people, not an individualistic, selfish people. I think sometimes I think particularly, you know, in the sports world, you hear this all the time when people are making decisions, at least in the sports world with contracts. And there's some things that kind of are understandable. But basically, at the end of the day, they say oftentimes, I have to do what's best for me and my family. You know, that's kind of the trump card that's often used when deciding what to do. But notice that's not what happens here in the book of Joshua. That's not what happens here in Israel. What's good for them and their family is to leave them alone and to go fight for the men and to take care of the home and the children. For the women, both are just as difficult. Both take amazing faith. But there's a unity that needs to be preserved. And God wants Gad and Manasseh and these tribes to understand that them being a part of this congregation, if you will, a part of this community of 2 million people, it's important that they be there. I don't know. Maybe Gad and Manasseh, maybe they're great archers. Maybe they have some special ops people in their tribes. Maybe they're some folks just are good at tactics and artillery. But notice what they're not saying here. They're not allowed to say, well, God's sovereign. He'll take care of them. He can do with 9 tribes what he can do with 12. Notice it's not the case. That's not what God says. And oftentimes, we need to consider that. That God's called each of us in the body. We all have an important role. Teenager, you have an important role here in this church. College person, you have an important role in this church. It's not just for morale's sake. It's not just for the gifting that you have. It's not just for encouragement's sake. It's for your success too. It's the sense where they're in it together. And that unity, that togetherness is going to be necessary for all of them to inherit the fullness of the promises that God wants to give. That He wants to reward them. And note, the driving factor is not what's good for me. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do it all for the glory of God. Paul says to the Philippians this. He says, I'm hard pressed between the two. In other words, between wanting to die and be with Jesus or wanting to stay here and be with the Philippians. He says, I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. I want to go to heaven. I've been beaten and scourged and mocked and shipwrecked and stoned and left for dead and all those many things. He says, listen, there just comes a point sometimes where you're just ready to be done with it, right? You know? I know, moms, you probably feel that way sometimes. It's just like maybe getting near. I don't know if you homeschool your children or if it's a public school route, whatever the route is. There's just that time where maybe for moms toward the end of school, it's just like, it is what it is. We're ready just to move on. Or maybe your public school, you're like, I just can't wait back for September to get some of my life back. You know, whatever it is. But God calls us, listen, He calls us whether we eat, we drink, whatever we do it all for the glory of God. Listen to what Paul says. My desire is to part, be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh, in other words, to continue living, he says, here on earth, is more necessary on your account. He says to the Philippians, it's better for you that I stay here and not go and be with Christ. I want to go be with Christ. Convinced of this, he says, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul recognizes his role that God's given him in the life of the Philippians. He's not somehow trying to usurp God's role, not thinking, boy, I'm so important that you guys, man, you really need me because I'm so gifted and I'm so important. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, I recognize, I'm convinced of this, that I'm to be a part of this group for this period of time. And it's important that I would be here. You know, I think we've lived this out as a church so many times over. And I just want to take just a few seconds just to commend so many people in this church who think in a way, I think, that's countercultural. That think in a way that Paul thinks. That thinks in the way that God wanted the tribe of Manasseh and Gad and Reuben to think. I know folks here in this congregation that have given up really good jobs. And you know what's been the deciding factor for them? They said this, I can't leave my care group. I want to serve them. That's not normal. That's God-given. But it's what God's saying to the people here. He's trying to cut off that temptation for the people just to walk out or to let somebody else do it. God will take care of it because He's sovereign. I believe strongly in the sovereignty of God. And because God is sovereign, yes, that's true, friend. But God uses means. He uses Moses. Moses is the one man that stood between the people being totally annihilated and them receiving the covenant promises, or at least their children receiving the covenant promises. And Joshua's called to that role as well. But so are the people. They all have their roles that God has called them to. To God, it's all or nothing. It's the lesson of Achan, right? If there's one in the camp who defiles the camp, the whole camp is defiled. It's just this principle in Scripture of the individual you connected to the corporate all. It's important. Just as one all in Adam die, they're connected. Not just the individual, but anyone who's born of a woman. They have indwelling sin. They have inherited sin, but in Christ, all are made alive. That's how God thinks. That's how he wants Joshua. He wants the people to think. He wants it to remind them, listen, it's important. It's important that you stay together. It's important for us as a church. It's important for us as Christians to remember that, whatever that looks like. And that might look different in different situations. It doesn't mean necessarily we're always together. There are not some kind of circumstances that come up that change that. Those kind of things happen. And that's good. And that can be to the glory of God. But just make sure it's to the glory of God. That's important for us. Last, not only is there a call to take courage and obey, to remind you that there's a give and take in the Christian life. Not only is there this individual and this group dynamic, but also there's this responsibility and accountability that accompanies every person's life. Look at this election and responsibility. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Repeats it again. Do not be frightened. Repeats it again. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Note what he says there. This whole election fact. Have I not commanded you? Have I, the God of the universe, Yahweh, the God of all gods, who tells the end from the beginning, who numbers all the stars and calls them all by name, the one who has numbered every hair on your head, I, that God, Joshua, have I not commanded you? You know, something interesting happens in the life of Joshua. In Numbers 13:16, we're given a little bit of insight to it. All the spies are going out into the land, and there's this guy named Hoshea. That Numbers 13:16 says this. He's going to be one of the spies. These were the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun, Yeshua. Joshua. Hoshea means deliverance. It's a great name. Deliverance. But Yahshua means Yahweh delivers. Yahweh saves. God is salvation. That's what the name Joshua, that's transliterated in the Greek, that's where we get Yeshua, that's where we get Jesus, Jesus. God is salvation. There's a connection that Moses makes with Joshua, and that all these commands of this election. Hey, listen, Joshua, your connection is going to be so tight to God that when people say your name, they're going to remember it's Yahweh who saves. You remember that too. Christian, you're so connected to God that you wear God's name too. That's why we call you a Christian. A Christian. You're connected to Christ. He's hidden in you. You have a special calling, a special election. God has chosen you. And God says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Did you catch the first song? I had to get a pen and write it down real quick. Does anyone remember the title of the first song besides Spencer? The Lord is my salvation. You know what we could call that song? Joshua. That's what we're singing about. The Lord is my salvation. That's exactly what Joshua means. God is my salvation. Isn't that cool? But why? There's this election that I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Paul will say to the Ephesians, listen, you have this special election. You have this special calling. God has chosen you. You are connected to Yeshua. You are connected to Jesus. You are connected to Jesus. He is hidden in you, but he's hidden in you to live differently. He's hidden in you in order that you might navigate life in times of go time in a way that's different from the rest of the world. Why? Because there's not only there's this election, but there's this responsibility. Have I not commanded you? Commanded Joshua. There's a responsibility that he now has. Having received all these promises, having received all this heritage, having received all these experiences, now God says to him in verse 9, listen, have I not commanded you? It's go time for you, Joshua. It's go time for the nation of Israel. I am with you always. I will be with you just like I was with Moses. But it's time to live differently now. It's time to be strong and courageous in your daily walk. It's time to be strong and courageous and draw upon the power of Christ that God has given through His Son who died for your sins, that you might not only, listen, not only have all of your sins erased, but that God might display to the world this new creation, not a perfect person, but a person that has a power exuding from them that's just different than the rest of the world. And that's how they're to go into this land. They're different. They're to be set apart. They're not to take on the practices of the people of the land. They're not to live like those people. They weren't to eat like those people. They weren't to worship like those people. The point wasn't, hey, here's some food laws and let's just make us distinct because we don't eat pork chops. That's not the point. The point is, you're mine. I separated you. You're different. And I've given you the power to live like it. So be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? So there you have it. It's go time. It's time to be strong, courageous, and obedient. It's time to recognize that there'll be some give and take. Remember that there's a you, but there's also an all. And remember that with election comes responsibility. I pray that during your go time, during my go time, that you'll remember these things. You'll remember the inheritance that you've been given, and that you'll live differently to the glory of God. Let's pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I'm going to wait till they come forward before I start to pray. So hang with me for just a moment. Father, thank you for your word that's written, not just for an audience 3,500 years ago, in order to encourage them to receive all that you have, but it's written to this audience today, to receive all that you've done for them. Lord, I pray that you would give strength and courage. I pray that you would help us to recognize that there is a give, but there's also a take. There's also a fight of faith that you call us to. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us that we're not alone, that we're connected, not just to you, but connected to your body. And Lord, that we might think differently than perhaps we would have before we've come to know you as Savior and Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that we have been given this glorious inheritance through the election that we don't deserve, that you would choose us. Don't know why you did that. Don't know why you chose Moses or Joshua or Abraham either. But Lord, we're grateful and thankful and pray that you would help us to live in light of the responsibility that you've given us. Help those verses, when we read them and hear them throughout the book of Joshua, help them to take hold of our hearts and help them to inform and empower the way we live Monday, Tuesday, and all the way through Sunday. Lord, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus.